Markets go down. It's a thing they do. But still, yesterday was bad. In Washington, D.C., I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Markets have had a terrible month, an extra terrible past week, and a nasty yesterday. Pick your reason why. The Fed raised interest rates, the government partially shut down, the president reportedly asked if he could fire the Fed chair, the Treasury Secretary told everyone that banks were not in crisis when no one thought they were, the Secretary of Defense got fired, and a partridge in a pear tree. Kimberly Adams is in New York with more. Kimberly, first, give us some context. How bad was yesterday exactly?
Because of yesterday and all the reasons you mentioned earlier, markets are now on track to end the year lower for the first time since 2008, which you might remember was a particularly bad year triggering the Great Recession. Market indices are having their worst December since the Great Depression. But I should say context is key here. This drop comes at what looks to be the gradual fading of what has been the longest bull market in history, with market indices like the Dow hitting records we'd never seen before.
Now, a bull market is when markets trend up, and now lots of folks are talking about a bear market.
Right. I mean, we should keep in mind that a drop can just be a bad day in the market or even a correction from a recent high. But when people start talking about bear markets, they often mean a steady trend downward that in some ways starts perpetuating itself. So, for example, everyone is selling, so I'm going to sell too, so prices end up going down even more.
This is obviously not where the Trump administration wants to be. We've seen several attempts over the last few days to calm markets and investors. How has that been working?
Not so great, Sabri. I mean, there was this weird press release from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin on Christmas Eve, basically saying, don't worry, all the banks are fine. But that made the markets kind of freak out a little during the shortened trading day on Monday, wondering, hey, we weren't worried about the banks. What's going on? And then also yesterday, Mnuchin called a meeting of a little known group called the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, which has the unfortunate nickname of the Plunge Protection Team. Another meeting, another thing, which is making investors say, what's up?
Marketplaces, Kimberly Adams, thanks very much.
No problem, Sabri.
And let's take a look at those numbers. After yesterday's dismal half day of trading, U.S. markets are closed for Christmas. The Dow and the S&P 500 had their worst Christmas Eve declines ever. The Dow was down 2.9% yesterday. The S&P 500 fell 2.7%, and the Nasdaq was down 2.2%. The Nikkei index in Japan closed down 5%, not having a great time there. Last year, Congress passed the biggest overhaul of tax law in more than three decades. A clause in the resulting new IRS tax code about alimony is causing splitting couples to rush to divorce before the new year. Here's Marketplace's Mariel Segarra with more.
The new tax law gets rid of a lot of deductions, including the one for alimony. So currently, if you get divorced and you pay alimony, you can deduct it from your taxes. And if you receive alimony, you have to pay taxes on it. But because of a provision in the new law, that alimony deduction goes away in January. If you finalize your divorce by December 31st, though, you are grandfathered in. You can keep the deduction forever. So people who are currently in the middle of a divorce and know they're gonna have to pay alimony are trying to get the divorce done by the end of the year. And they need to get their soon-to-be exes on board here. So some of them are offering stuff they normally wouldn't, like, you know, take the house, have the retirement account, or an extra visitation day with the kids, anything to get this done. And their spouses are deciding whether to sign the divorce papers, because next year they won't have to pay taxes when they receive alimony. But their husband or wife might also offer them less money after the deduction goes away. And if they can't agree, they might end up in court where a judge would decide.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra on the Tax Beat.
Numbers alone don't tell the whole story. That's why Marketplace tells the stories behind the numbers, stories of real people, of businesses both big and small, and of the impact the economy has on each of us. Because you appreciate this kind of public service journalism, we're asking you to give something back. Donate today at marketplace.org, and your gift will go twice as far, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
In an average year, Americans buy nearly 28 million Christmas trees. Real ones we're talking about here. Average price, $75. This is all according to the National Christmas Tree Association. Now, like any consumer product, Christmas trees require some quality control, no scrawny trees, and R&D, research and development. Here's Marketplace's Renata Sego.
Burr Craig wants you to know a few things about Christmas trees. They can take 10 years to mature. There are many varieties, and to harvest one, a grower is not climbing a mountain and
cutting down the tree with an axe and all of this.
Craig teaches forestry at Michigan State University. For years, he's been running tests on North American farm-grown trees, all to figure out which ones are the most resilient and the most attractive to the American consumer. Craig looks at things like
needle color. People want a deep green tree, typically, although some species are a little bit blue.
He studies how long some species can stand the cold and keep their needles. The National Christmas Tree Association welcomes all the research it can get. Doug Hundley with the group says growers are worried about a big enemy, exotic pests.
Our native trees don't have the natural resistance to them.
The pest problem is expected to get worse as the climate keeps changing, which could drive more people to buy those fake plastic trees, another enemy of real Christmas trees. I'm Renata Sego for Marketplace.
And here is a small piece of holiday cheer for you. After being stranded in the ocean adrift on their boat for 20 days, two fishermen were rescued by a Royal Caribbean cruise liner. This was reported by the Huffington Post. The men had been blown out to sea by strong winds while sleeping. Then they ran out of gas getting back. They had only 7 days' worth of food and water. The only reason the cruise liner ran into the stranded boat was because it had changed direction to avoid bad weather. The fishermen were taken to a hospital in Jamaica. They are doing all right. In Washington, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.